take out our Bibles. So we've spent some time in previous weeks learning about anger and bitterness, how they are very closely tied together, and also the bondage that can come from those emotions. Now, if you remember, going way back, God warned us, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. That was more than just a practical step of, okay, if you get mad, don't go to bed till you get it taken care of. It was more than just that. It was a warning because of the bondage that can set in. The context establishes that for us, because after that verse, it talks about the devil gaining a foothold if we don't take care of the anger that's inside of us. People that have allowed themselves to be in that position, to where they've held on to anger or hurts, offenses, bitterness, they are really hard to approach about those things. They're really hard to approach about anything. They take on this victim mentality. Everyone's picking on me, or they're picking on me again. And what's the metaphor that we use? Walking on eggshells around them, so we don't set them off, or we don't trip their trigger, or whatever we want to say there. So now we're going to kind of shift gears and start looking at how to break out of that bondage that we can all find ourselves in if we're not careful and heeding the warning that God gives us in James. The first step, I think, is to understand the difference between two different types of responses, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, the difference between emotion-based responses and Bible-based responses. So let's look at the first one there, emotion-based responses. Do you remember back in our first lesson, we learned that emotions act as reflectors, okay? Do you remember that? Emotions act as reflectors, and I think I had given an example of a young family that's in the airport waiting for their dad to come down the terminal. He just got off his plane, and they're all happy and excited, and there he is, and the little kids are jumping up and down, and as he's walking towards them, over the loudspeaker comes on, everyone needs to evacuate. There's a fire in this terminal or whatever. And how does the family feel at that time? What's their emotion at that time? Fear? Concern? Okay. Why? What happened? Dad's coming. No. Their emotion is reflecting the circumstances. So our emotions do act as reflectors. They just reflect what's going on around us. And the external circumstances, they actually spur our emotional responses. So the things going on around us, that's the external, they kind of stir up those responses. So we are constantly responding emotionally to our circumstances. And some people do it just like that, several times a minute. Okay, I'm being a little facetious there. But we can our emotions can jump around because we're always responding to external circumstances. So let's look at number one, some things about emotion-based responses. Everyone faces situations that stir deep feelings. Now, we're talking about deep feelings, hard circumstances, all different kinds of circumstances. Some of them can be more painful than others, but we all feel at different times pain, frustration, and sometimes even grief. Let's look at number two. Some situations are ongoing. These are the ones that seem like they never end. Like we're just stuck in something. It's like, is my life ever going to change? Okay. For example, in the Bible, can you think of someone that was stuck in their situation? Who can you think of? Job, yes, definitely. He was stuck in a situation. How about someone that was stuck even longer than Job? Has anyone ever tried to kill you before? Ah, David, it wasn't just a one-time thing. This went on for years, and he was stuck in this ongoing situation. Anyone that you can think of even longer than David? Joseph, yes. Year after year after year after year after year of injustices. Absolutely. How did he do it without becoming bitter? Okay. His emotions could have, should have, maybe reflected years and years and years of injustices. I had someone tell me one time that I think was probably trapped in bondage to past hurts and offenses. And they said, I am tired of always being the bad guy. And I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm sick of it always being my fault. I was like, whoa. Wow. And in his mind, this has just been this ongoing situation. And you know what? I don't know the circumstances or the details. Maybe it was reality. But we see in the Bible, people felt that. Ongoing situations. Some of them sometimes are like that. Now, let's go on. Number three, deep feelings. This is kind of a progressive thing, okay, as we go through these. They're building on each other. Deep feelings look for verbal and behavioral responses. Now, if I'm sitting here in one of these pews on a Sunday night, okay, Pastor Taylor's preaching, and someone passes me a note, and that note says, Pastor, you're amazing. You're awesome. Yeah, I know. This is really getting far-fetched. But we just want you to know that we appreciate you, and there's a brand new Harley out in the parking lot for you. Dear Lord, please help Pastor Taylor to be quick tonight, you know. I know that's just kind of fun-hearted there, but that would be, that type of circumstance would be demanding almost a verbal or a behavioral response. I might get that, and I might say amen for the entire message, okay? Y'all would think I'm super spiritual and that Pastor Taylor's really hitting it hard. Woo, listen to Pastor amening everything. No, I'm just rereading the note, you know? See, some of these circumstances, they're powerful motivators of our behavior. If a mother sees their child at the park and someone is approaching them, they look dangerous, okay, and they're holding a stick in their hand like this as they're approaching your child, how do you respond? How would you respond, Kathy? Anger, okay. Would it motivate any verbal or behavioral response out of you? Yes. What would those responses might look like? Horrible. We're not even going to talk about them here, okay? All right. Concealed carry would no longer be concealed at that point. Am I right, Gary? Yeah. Why? I mean, would you do that here in church if someone just walked by and didn't say hi to you? I hope not, okay? Some situations are powerful motivators for a verbal response. Like, hey, get away from my kid. Okay, I've never heard you yell in my life. I'm sure Gary hasn't either. But some responses motivate that verbal response or even a behavioral response. We're talking about emotion-based responses here. And these feelings, these emotions, They want us to do something. What do you think the response, that verbal or behavioral response, is wanting you to do? What is that emotion wanting you to do? Let's take the situation with the child in the park. Your child in the park. You have this verbal or emotion or a behavioral response because of this powerful emotion. What is that emotion wanting you to do? Take some type of action. For what purpose? There we go. To change the situation. Okay? It's all emotion-based. External circumstance. Powerful emotion, and it wants us to change the situation. Or maybe it wants us to punish the offender in a different situation. Or maybe it's wanting us to just set things straight. Frustration. I can't take it anymore. And you just want everything to be set straight. Emotions are powerful, okay? Often what happens is there are forces at work that we have no control over. Okay, let's take a medical issue. And you're just sick of the arthritis. You're sick of being sick, okay? And you have no control over some things. Sometimes we don't have control over certain forces in our situations. Like other people, this can deepen our frustration, and that frustration can turn into rage. And then, follow the cycle, the rage, now that's where it's at, even if it's just inward rage, because of the frustration that turned into rage. And then those feelings get stronger. And they, what happens, we already just learned, with our feelings. They're already powerful, right? Now they're urging even more for action. And it spirals from there. Let's go on to number four. Something else about emotion-based responses. They're based on responses based on emotions or feelings develop into patterns. They develop into patterns. So when, for example, when a person is angry, they will be urged to act a certain way, okay? And then that will be more easily repeated the next time that they're angry. You take a child, for example, okay? They're learning patterns of behavior based on their emotions. Their emotions are calling for some kind of verbal or behavioral response. They do that, and then the next time they do that again, and a pattern starts developing. Let me give you some examples of patterns. Now, you'll see on your notes, I have it set up a little bit differently tonight. On the left side, that's where you should be at now. And on the right side, we'll be looking at Bible-based responses, which kind of coincides with some of these, okay? So let's go ahead and look at some emotion-based patterns that can be developed. Here's the first one, temper patterns. It's an outburst or inward seething. Did you know you can have an inward temper? The problem is we just don't see that. Outbursts, okay? What does an outburst look like? Anyone? What might it look like? Not in your house, just from what you saw in a movie maybe, okay? What's that? Vocal, very vocal. Okay, yes. Temper, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. What else? Throwing stuff. That could be part of an outburst. Right. You saw that on a movie, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, so we have words, harsh words, right? Our words get harsh. What else about words might change in an outburst? Oh, okay. Like fist, yes. Okay. How about loud words. Words get loud. Something else about speech in a outburst, that type of temper pattern. Our speech can be accusing. Have you ever noticed in an argument, people tend to start every sentence with you? You. Well, you did this. Well, you did that. Okay? And it's almost like we're pointing a finger, right? And someone just showed me, you got three pointing back at you. That's something to remember. So we got harsh words, loud, accusing, rash actions. David mentioned that some outbursts involve throwing something. It's a rash action. Okay, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And destructive elements to all of these forms of outbursts. If the emotions, if they're held inside, it's still a temper pattern. So that person's pattern that they're learning is, I have this strong emotion, and I'm just going to hold it inside, which is very self-destructive. The outburst is destructive to everyone and everything around us, but the one that holds it in, it's hurting them, their own selves. Here's another pattern, blame patterns. Now, some people tend to learn this pattern when they have these strong feelings of emotion or anger. Focuses on all the ways that others are responsible for my problems. So what does it look like? Blame pattern. Well, that person's words are critical. They tend to be critical of others. They're loaded with accusations, insinuations, and there is definitely defensiveness, supersensitivity to what others are doing in relation to them. There's that eggshell thing again. That's someone who has learned this pattern of blame to deal with the emotion. Here's another one. Victim patterns. You know, there's a security, certain security that comes with not being responsible. It's not my fault. I'm just a victim. And there's a security in that. You don't have to deal with anything about you if you're a victim. I'm just the one getting picked on here. It's very similar to the blame pattern, but this one actually takes on the persona in their mind that they truly are a victim. And none of this is their fault. So how does that look? A person who has taken that on as their pattern, the words that they speak, they drip with self-pity. You know, poor me, sadness, complaints. You know, my life is never going to get any better, or my life is so hard. I've got it so bad, you know. All of these things going on in my life right now. It's a victim speaking there. It's a victim pattern that's speaking. They're on the lookout for other hurts and slights that they might have in their circumstances. And then one more pattern that we'll consider, and that's the control pattern. So a person gets angry, and the pattern that they have learned is one of control, manipulating to get what you want. Some of these can cross over into each other too. Manipulating to get what you want. What's a good way to do that? Parents with children, okay? Let's try to keep it comfortable here. I said sit down! The louder we get, the more we can manipulate and control them. How many times do I have to tell you to clean your room? You know, how many times have we said stuff like that as parents? And it doesn't work, and it doesn't work. And we keep telling them, and I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And we still don't do anything. We are our own worst enemy sometimes as parents, okay? And then we get loud to try to control, to manipulate, to get what we want. Our words are and actions. Because you see, when I did this with the child, I wanted to sit down. I got loud. I leaned forward, closer to their face, and my finger was jutting out at them. Words and actions, those combine to manipulate, to make. Sometimes we use our words in this pattern to make others feel guilty. Everything that I have done and given, and you're treating me like this. I'm not yelling. I could even say that on a piece of paper. But what's it doing? It's trying to manipulate or control a person. So our words can be used to make other people feel guilty or afraid. How would we use words to create fear in order to control somebody? Any? Ooh. No one's going to like you if you do that. That's very good. Wait till your father gets home. Yeah, that didn't work on me and my brothers. No. We didn't change our behavior until Dad got home. Yeah, then we shaped up. That's good, though. Anything else? How about if this doesn't change, then I'm going to do this. We give an else statement. If, then, okay? And we lay down this ultimatum, a threat. That is typical of a control pattern. Listen, angry, bitter people are always controllers in some way. They're always trying to control in some way. So let's move on to number five, some more ideas about emotion-based responses. They are natural. What? Everything that we just described that's natural? Yep. Yep. External circumstances elicit feelings, which can be powerful motivators to verbal or action-based responses. It's all natural, okay? These patterns that we just looked at, these are natural developments, in fact. We don't have to try to develop a pattern of being a hothead. No one tries to do that. It happens. It happens naturally. Number six, emotion-based responses. Say and do things that add to our problems. Would y'all agree that that's true? Yeah. I mean, and don't answer this, but just think about it in your mind, either for yourself or others that you know. How many people that have allowed emotion-based responses, how many people do you know, maybe even yourself, that it ever brought about anything better? We're talking about emotion-based responses to anger, okay, and frustration. When we allow our emotions to dictate what our verbal or behavioral steps are going to be, it doesn't bring about good. As these responses are repeated, the patterns are developed. And then, because it doesn't take us where we want to go, frustration becomes like a prison. There's that bondage concept, okay? But as we sang, there is power in the blood, okay? We're getting to the good part here. Frustration becomes a prison. Self-pity can become a prison for others. Resentment becomes a prison. Pouting, critical spirit, jealousy, they all continue to add links to a chain, if you will, hanging around our necks, which creates an even tighter bondage for us. But there's hope. There's power in the blood, right? These are emotion-based responses. So circumstances are what they are. Our emotions, if we just stand there and be totally neutral, our emotions are going to naturally respond in these ways. And some people, that's their default. They, because it's natural, they just let their emotions respond. But what are Bible-based responses? And that's the BBRs as we go through these here on your list. How should we respond to this natural emotion of anger? In all of its forms that it has, these, as I said earlier, are going to stand, many of them, in contrast to the emotion-based responses, but they're all going to be from the Bible. Number one, BBRs come from the Word of God, okay? We just need to establish that right now. Versus emotional-based responses that come from what? Circumstances. That's where those responses come from. So why is this important to make that distinguishment there? In determining how we respond, we really need more than our feelings as a base. Why? Because our emotions are constantly changing, aren't they? The Word of God doesn't change. It is a sure foundation that we can always rest on. It doesn't change with circumstances. It's always the same. So let's look at number two. BBRs often go against our natural sensibilities. You remember emotion-based responses are based on our naturally based responses. These, the Bible-based responses, go against what seems natural. It just doesn't make sense, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here's a verse for us. The natural man, that's us, our fleshly, natural side of us, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, these Bible-based responses, they're not part of our natural makeup. Number three, BBRs do not ignore reality. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's in the Bible, and God's Word is God's Word. And sometimes if we look at God's Word, we can think that it's not fair or it doesn't make sense, okay? But let me say this about God's Word, or about God. He doesn't excuse wrongdoing. Wrong is wrong, okay? And he doesn't excuse us for not doing right either. Do you remember, let me give you an example of that. Do you remember if someone, I think Jesus had said, if someone smites you, what do you do? Turn the other cheek. What? That does not make sense, okay? That's like rewarding him for what he did that was wrong. If someone compels you or forces you to do something for a mile, walk for a mile with them, Jesus said, go 2 miles. God doesn't ignore reality, though, because he judges all wrongdoing. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And because I'm going to take care of it, Gerald, turn the other cheek. Number four, Bible-based responses develop into patterns. Oh, so did emotional-based responses. Aha, let's consider this. Just like emotional-based responses develop into patterns, like the pouter will pout, okay? The yeller's going to do what? Yell, right? The clam upper is going to clam up, okay? A person can develop Bible patterns. I bet they're better than emotional-based patterns. And we can develop Bible patterns so that when we are doing these, we will look like God when faced with a disappointment or frustration or hurt or an offense instead of the other. So what are these Bible-based patterns, okay, in contrast to the emotional patterns? Number one, the first one is faith patterns. Now, we're going to talk more about just this concept next week, okay? But let's just sprinkle it out here right now. Faith patterns, believing that God is in total charge. This means he will allow nothing to happen that's going to ruin his plans for my life. That's the sovereignty of God, total control. The good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly that happened last week that I got so mad at, and I just wanted to kick someone. In fact, the dog got in my way, you know. It was an accident. No. That's not a Bible-based response. This pattern can develop when we believe that God is in total charge. Okay, here's the verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. But it doesn't make sense. They've done this to me a half a dozen times, and I'm sick of it. Well, my understanding would say, okay, it's time for me to draw the line with a verbal or behavioral response. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll keep directing your paths. Okay? Another pattern. Forgiveness patterns. Now, that is releasing those who do wrong and the demand for a price to be paid. We're releasing them and our demand that they pay a price for what they did. That's a forgiveness pattern to develop. Here's a verse, Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you remember what that verse is a part of? Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Gary. Yes. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And I'll paraphrase this. God, I want you to forgive me in the same way that I forgive others. I remember going through that with us before on a Wednesday night. That's hard, okay? That's scary, really. Do I want God to forgive me the way I forgive others? That's the forgiveness pattern that we need to develop for that spouse, that person at church, that coworker, whatever it is. Another verse, Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, you know, sometimes I use the term, now, let's flip that coin over, okay? If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's flip that coin over. What does it say in reverse? If we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. Now, we don't lose our salvation, okay? That's not what it's teaching. But if I'm holding a grudge year after year after year after year, and every single night I lay down, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and forgive me for where I have failed you, I don't have God's forgiveness for those sins. So what does that mean if I haven't lost my salvation? It means I am not receiving God's blessing on my life. God's not hearing or answering my prayers either. If thou regard iniquity in thine heart, God will not hear you. Wow, That's another hard verse there, okay? So let's move on to another pattern, and that is a love pattern to be developed. Speaking and acting towards people in a way that conveys kindness and compassion. Along with this is being committed to the highest good of others, even at personal cost or inconvenience. This is a love pattern. The only way you can do this is if you love that person that has offended you, hurt you, caused you frustration or inconvenience. You're going to demonstrate a love pattern. You say, that's not natural. No, it's not. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Because we are all recipients of that love pattern. Jesus committed to my highest good, even at personal cost or inconvenience to him. Yep, I did that to him, and he still loves me. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's move on. A gratitude pattern. Now, this is expressing appreciation to God and others for how they have contributed to my life. Okay, so you got this person that hurt you, offended you, caused you inconvenience or frustration, and now you're going to be grateful for how they have contributed to your life. What would that look like? What is there to be grateful for? Can you think of any other Bible principles to pull in for this? How about just Romans 8:28? All things, the good, the bad, the ugly, work together for good. Even this person that caused me injury, harm, frustration, inconvenience, God is sovereign, okay? That's the faith pattern. And so I trust also that God is using this for good, and I'm just going to thank Jesus for it. However that's working out, I don't see it, but I trust God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Another pattern, and that'll be the last one, intercession patterns. Bringing the needs of others to God and making requests for their needs as if they were my own. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We just can't get away from that word all. And everything give thanks. Now, contrast those with the patterns from the emotional-based responses. Notice that each of these BBRs are based on Scripture, okay? Let's real quick look at the rest of what we have here. Number five, patterns of BBRs are liberating. Emotional-based patterns are what? Bondage, right? Bible-based are liberating. The others lead to bondage. Patterns of resentment and blame and self-pity that we've already talked about. BBRs, they free the soul to praise and worship the creator and sustainer of life because we're not stuck in that mire of bondage anymore. Now, we could come to church with that person in the same room and we can just fully and freely worship God. Number six, BBRs result in entirely different emotional atmospheres. The natural feelings that we have are, those are unsafe grounds to determine our actions. They just lead to more misery. BBRs result in an awareness of God's presence in that situation. A focus on his blessing, his grace, his goodness, and confidence in his love and sovereignty. Kind of changes all the emotions, doesn't it? Yeah, God's got this. And number seven, BBRs release God's power in our behalf. Here's the verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God is looking for someone who is developing Bible-based response patterns so that he can then unleash his power in or on their behalf. Hurting people generally, naturally develop patterns that only add to their hurts. It's a cycle that's only broken when people turn in faith from their ways to the Lord. And as they learn to base their responses on God's word, it is then that they receive grace. That's the power from number seven. It's then that they receive grace to break those bonds of anger and bitterness. Now, on the back side of that page, I have a section there entitled Deeper Understanding, okay? Take some time tonight and look up those verses and just follow those directions there. There's just three different things I'm asking you to do to help ingrain this in your minds. So if you wish, spend a little time on that this evening, but we're going to stop here and go to our prayer groups.